the Word of God. I believe the Bible speaks to me and imparts life to me. I believe the Bible today in Jesus' name. Amen. It's important to declare those things every once in a while because we're living in a world that speaks of other things than the Word of God. I want to share with you some things this morning concerning tell it like it is. That's the message of the, or the title of the message this morning, tell it like it is. Why would we have to preach something about tell it like it is? Shouldn't we always tell it like it is? Well, probably we should, but often it's not told the way it really is. Often things are maligned. Often things are a little bit off course and off center because people want to be so careful to be able to say things so that they will give them an advantage in some way, shape, or form rather than speak truth. And so it is truly important to tell it like it is and not hold anything back, but to tell it like it is. There was a burglar that went into a home one night, and he didn't think there was anybody home, so he went in there, and he was really quiet, and he went into the living room, and all of a sudden he heard these words, "Jesus is watching you." And it kind of shocked him a little bit, but he thought he was just hearing things, so he went a little bit further, and he heard, "Jesus is watching you." And so he stopped and looked around, and seen in the corner there was a parrot in the corner. And he looked at the parrot and said, "Did you say that?" And the parrot, "Did you say Jesus is watching me?" And the parrot says, "Yes." And the burglar got right at ease then and said, "Oh, thank heavens." And he said to the parrot, "What's your name anyway?" And the parrot said, "Clarence." "Clarence? What a stupid name. What kind of an idiot would name a bird Clarence?" And the parrot said, "The same idiot that named the Doberman Jesus." The last of his truth there, the last of part of it was very crucial. Some of you are just getting that now. Tell it like it is. Jesus, I believe, came. He walked this earth and he was continually telling it like it is. And it wasn't very pretty a lot of times to a lot of people. The truth hurt a lot of people. And the way it was put forward, I'm sure so many people might have thought, "Oh, he could have said something a little bit nicer. He could have put it a nicer way. After all, he went to the most religious leaders of the day. He said to the Pharisees, he said, 'You are of your father, the devil.' Surely he could have cushioned that a little bit." And they started arguing with him, and they talked about, "Who do you think you are?" And he basically proclaimed that he was the Son of God, and he said, "If I say anything differently, I will be a liar just like you." He's made it pretty plain. But today we would think, "Oh, yes, that's true. That may be true, all right, but he could have said it a lot nicer." You know, we are so politically correct in this nation that it seems like truth is hard to find. It's hard to walk through all the politically correct statement and find out what really is true, because there's so many things that are said from a politically correct basis. Let's look at what that means to be politically correct. Well, one dictionary puts it this way. It refers to people who try their best to avoid controversy. One of the definitions for being politically correct is people who will try to avoid controversy. Well, if you are ever a proclaimer of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may as well give it up if you think that you're going to be politically correct during the process, because you'll constantly be trying to avoid controversy. No, the message of the kingdom of God is to confront this world, and so there is to be a controversy. There is a message that is going to go crossways against the world, and it's not a politically correct message. It is a message of truth. It may not be politically correct, but it is a message of truth. And the problem with political correctness is that those who want to use it are only politically correct until you disagree with them. And then you are a bigot, or you're called racist, you're something else other than a decent human being if you disagree with those who would talk about being politically correct. Demanding political correctness insists that you be quiet while the rest goes about their agenda that you're not in agreement with. But you have to be quiet about what you believe. See, in a politically correct society, truth is pushed to the back burner. Making everyone feel comfortable is more important than being truthful. And that is a sad society when we come to that particular state in our society. You see, we have the greatest truth in the world, and it should bring us so much joy and happiness that we should be willing to stand up and be able to declare the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, just the same way as he declared it when he was on the earth. Truth is truth, whether we agree with it or not, whether it's politically correct or not. Truth is truth, and the truth will set you free. You hear things today that are so twisted to me in the way I look at it anyway. Like if somebody tells a lie, politicians tells a lie, they say, he told an untruth. Well, what's an untruth? It's a lie. It's a lie. Or so-and-so misspoke. What happens when you misspoke? Well, it's usually a lie. I mean, it may be a mistake sometime when you say things that you're not aware of, but most of the times it's things that people are already aware of and they twist it a little bit so they can put a different meaning to it. No, we know that if we hold to this idea of being politically correct, see, what happens is that we actually lose authority when we begin to speak the word of God about any situation that we are in. Because if we are not correct in our speaking, if we are not clear in our statements, then when we try to speak concerning a spiritual issue, we lose authority. If I am politically correct and are very, very tiptoe around people and try to make them feel real good and not really give them what they really need to know in order to have life, then when I go before God and I'm dealing with a problem and I declare no weapon formed against me will prosper, then I haven't got the authority that I need to declare that word when I'm politically correct in other areas. You see, God looks at us in a totality way. In other words, he looks at what our character is like. And if we are more concerned about making a person feel good at the present time than giving them the truth that they need, then we are holding back who Jesus is. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, if we hold back the truth, we're holding back Jesus from people who are around us. But we have Jesus on the inside of us, and so we have there's so much of him on the inside of us that wants to get out, but it can't get out. We can't get him out in a politically correct environment. There has to be an element of truth that is more important to us than any kind of political correctness, than any kind of making people feel good. We've never lived in a day where the human condition is in such uncertainty. What do I mean by that? The human condition, what is the human condition? Well, I believe Jesus nailed the human condition very clearly when he said, you must be born again. Because he said, the human condition is you are of your father, the devil. How many want the devil for their father? And so he said, I want to speak to that. I want to speak to your human condition. I want to show you the answer for your human condition. And that is, you must be born again. You must change your fathers. You must come to God the Father, who is really Lord of all. He addressed the human condition, but today there are so many issues. We have in Christianity today wonders who think, is Jesus the only way? Surely there are other ways to the Father. Surely if a real good person is good all their lives and never really did anything really bad, surely they're not going to go to a place that we call hell, which is not a politically correct statement today. But that is the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he has declared that he has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So the truth that Jesus came to bring us actually gives us life and life more abundantly. And when he tells us that we must be born again, that tells us that outside of Jesus Christ, the human condition is one of hopelessness. And many are experiencing a hopelessness today who don't know God. And those who are having very, very difficult times today, we hear it all the time, even Christians who are having difficult times today, they will actually say, I don't know what I'd do if I didn't have God. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't assured of my place in heaven. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't know that I win in the end because of the struggle that I go through. Do you realize that today? That when it's all said and done, you are in the awesome position to know that you win. You are an individual that has already walked into the victorious podium. You have already come to this place where you are a victorious one, not because you're so good at what you have done, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ and all that He has done. He has bestowed upon each one of us His goodness. Isn't that awesome? He has placed on each one of us His condition and replaced our human condition with His condition. How great that is, that we no longer have to fear because of sin, because of what we have gotten caught up in, because He Himself has placed upon us His position or His human condition. Uncertainty of human condition today is at an all-time high. It is pride that separates from God, and it is sensual, the sensual that binds us to the earth, and sensual meaning that we do everything from our senses, from a senses perspective. And if we only believe what we can see, taste, feel, touch, smell, if we only believe those things, then we are totally bound to earth, and we cannot understand the things of the Spirit whatsoever. We're not called to be sensual. We're called to be spiritual. We're called to have our eyes and ears open to spiritual things. And if our eyes and ears are open to spiritual things, then we know that we have a King of Kings and Lord of Lords whom we can bow to and that whom we can declare that He has won the battle for us. He has run into the battle ahead of us. He has defeated the enemy. And that you and I now today can have great hope to know that our eternity is settled in heaven. That's not something that we talk a lot about today, is eternity, because for many people it scares them. So why does the world not want to talk about eternity? Because it makes them feel uncomfortable. Why is it that when you talk about eternity, you try to share somebody about eternity, it makes them uncomfortable? What happens when people get comfortable? There's a spirit of this world that comes in and says that you should be aware of what's happening to this individual now. You're making them feel uncomfortable, and everything goes downhill from there. But no, we must remember that truth, although it might make us uncomfortable, it actually delivers people and sets people free. But the world is designed to make us feel comfortable. Even the cars that we drive, even the gas gauge in our vehicles is designed to give us comfort. Do you realize that? Let me read this, just a little excerpt from a engineer in the Ford Motor Company. According to Ford Motor Company engineer Phil Perron, after filling your tank, your car gas gauge may stay on full for quite a bit longer than what you would expect. It is designed that way in order to make you feel good. You just fill the car up with gas, and you drive around for a while, and you think, wow, you've gone 100 kilometers, and the gas gauge hasn't even moved, and it makes you feel real good. So it's designed to make you feel good when you fill your car up with gas and say, wow, this car is really good. She's good on gas. And then all of a sudden, it begins to go down. If you watch it real closely, that after you know it comes down, after it gets off the full mark, it starts to be going down a little bit faster and faster. But by the end, but it gets close to empty now, it is also designed to have more gas in the car than, or to show that there's more. There's still more in there than what it looks like. Let me put it that way. Although the car is on empty, it'll stay close to that empty mark, not really empty, but close to that empty mark for a long period of time because it makes you feel good. It gets down to the empty, oh, got to fill up. Hey, the gas gauge hasn't moved now for the last couple of days. It makes you have comfort in your car. That gas gauge is giving you comfort. But it's not telling you the truth. The gas gauge, when it's full right to the top and stays on full after you drive 100 kilometers or so, it's still on full, but it's not telling you the truth. The car is not full anymore. When it's empty, giving you a deceptive reading. What is that designed for? It's designed to make us feel good. That's what the world presents to you and I. The world is concerned about getting us into a comfort zone because the world knows, the principalities and the powers know that if it can get us into a comfort zone, we won't want to move out of it. If he can get us into a zone where we feel good and are comfortable and around people who all like us, they really think we're something, they really think we're great. And so if we get used to that, the principalities and powers know that we don't want to move outside of our comfort zone to tell people the truth, to walk in truth. It's amazing, isn't it, when you look at it? Everything is designed for our comfort, to keep us quiet for a while. And unfortunately, there's many preachers who work that and try to get the balance, try to hold everybody in a comfortable place, try to constantly speak about positive things and never speak about negative things. And if we never mention the dark side of what's happening in the world today, I'm afraid there's many people who will die and go to hell and never realize that there was another message. There was a heeding to take place. There was something that we needed to heed rather than just run foolishly with all those things that make us feel comfortable, that make us feel wonderful. And we preach this. We preach that God has made us in a wonderful way. He has fashioned us. He had molded us. And he wants good for us. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be happy in life, be filled with joy, and all the rest of it. And that is all true. But in saying that, we also have to realize that there's another side of it. God said, you're going to have an awesome, wonderful life if you heed my word. Deuteronomy 28 says, if you obey the voice of the Lord, all these blessings will come upon you. Now, we don't read the second part of Deuteronomy 28 very much, where it says, if you fail to heed the word of God, then all these curses will come upon you. And it talks about all the curses. In other words, they talk about the consequences of our sin. You know, the Bible talks about being sure your sin will find you out. Well, if we never mention that, if we just let that go and never mention that there's a standard, there's a heaven standard that we need to look for on the earth. There's actually a heaven standard that we need to demonstrate while we're here on the earth. And as we do that, we can walk in the blessing of God and the promises of blessing in our lives continually. But many, many times this ungodly doctrine of tolerance and compromise has filtrated the church so that we are really not telling the truth anymore, that we lighten up the gospel message, that we are really not commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ to go out and tell, but not only tell, but tell it like it is. In other words, don't sugarcoat it, but go out and tell it like it is, that indeed you must be born again. A religious leader came to Jesus, and you know, in the night season, he was a very religious man, godly man, read the word, but Jesus told him, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Have we told that to anybody recently? Have we made that clear? Have you ever been talking about what it's like, what life is like on this earth? Have you ever shared with them, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father, Jesus said, except by me. Wow. Neville Chamberlain was Prime Minister of England during the Second World War, just as it was getting going. And he went and listened to Hitler. And he listened to Hitler give him all kinds of promises. He listened to Hitler telling him that they weren't going to invade England. Listened to Hitler over and over again. And Chamberlain wanted to make everybody comfortable. Did not want to get the nation upset. He just couldn't fathom the concept of war coming to England. And he missed it in the whole process. He gave Hitler such a long rope that he just came and continued until he finally realized that all the things that Hitler was putting to him were anything but truth. Tried to get him to compromise over and over and over again until finally he realized that it was hopeless. And then after that, he had to step aside because he didn't know how to go into the battle, because he had really, in one sense, prostituted himself to another force for such a long time. He couldn't get back right on the right side and be able to lead an army against the German army at that particular time. And I believe that God is raising up an army today. I believe that God wants to breathe his Holy Spirit on the church today to raise up an army who will not be coerced by compromise and tolerance, but they will take the word of truth and be able to speak it out in the marketplace, letting people know the way things really are. And when it's all over, that Jesus Christ is going to be hailed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if we don't bow our knee to him now, then we'll have to do it later on. But the consequences of our rejection will end us up in a place called hell, which was created for the devil and his angels. How's that for a positive message? Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We cannot take it lightly. I'm convinced that one of the ways that the world is pressuring the church is that to get us into a place of political correctness and compromise. And as a result, it just sucks the power right out of the church. The church becomes lifeless. It becomes nothing more than a club that you can go to that make you happy for a little while. You see, we're more than that. The church is more than that. The church is called to be an army of the most powerful army the planet has ever known. And if you and I will not be hindered in speaking forth the truth, I believe that we'll see a lot more power in the church in the days ahead. Because I'll tell you folks, if we're not doing it, if you and I are not in a place today that we will not compromise, I guarantee you that God is going to raise us up a people who will walk out in truth, who will not compromise, who will speak the word in truth, who will not hold back with their friends and their neighbors and so forth. They will speak out and do great exploits for God. And we're called to that. Don't miss your day of visitation. Don't miss your day when the Lord says, I want you to speak to this individual right now. I read a book just recently. I was telling Debbie a chapter in it about this lady who felt that God had spoke to her and told her to call up this individual and share with her the message of Jesus. And she didn't want to. She was just pressured, and there was just so much of this, what'll she think of me? I'll look bad and blah, 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 all this kind of thing. And she held back. And finally, one day, she actually met her at the supermarket. She didn't know her very well, but she knew who she was. And the Lord said, I go and talk to her now. And she said hi to the lady, and suddenly the lady kind of turned around looking at the vegetables, and she just kind of backed away. Oh, I guess she doesn't want to talk, and left it. The next day, the next morning, she got a phone call from another friend of hers, said, did you hear about so-and-so? She said, what? She committed suicide last night. This lady was moved upon by God to speak. You see, that's what happens when you pay attention to political correctness, compromise, and tolerance. We lose our boldness to speak out the word of truth to others around us, and we can miss the very thing that we're called for. There may be, maybe we've been born to speak to somebody that nobody else would ever understand, nobody else would ever listen to, nobody else would ever pay attention to, and if we don't do it, we may miss the very reason that we have been born. But this attitude of compromise and tolerance within the church just drains of the power of the gospel. No, you and I are called to be mighty warriors in God. Listen, if you read in Samuel, and especially 2 Samuel, you'll read about the mighty men of God. There was three that were exceptional, but then there were 30 above that, with that group, who were called mighty, David's mighty men as well. And there was a whole host of mighty men of David who went about doing great exploits. It's important to read that because you and I are called to be that in the spirit. We're not called to go out and to take our sword and to slaughter people, but we are called to go out to take the word of God out, the sword, into the world around us and be mighty men and women of God in the world. In the same way, only more important way, that we're releasing people from the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. We're called to that. It's interesting to me that God is calling us to battle. The last few nights, it seemed that when I lay my head in bed, it's as I was thinking of this. This is the year 5777, the Hebrew word. The Hebrew year 5777, and it is the year of the sword of vision. And it seems like the last few nights, I lay down my head. It seemed like, you know, the sound when steel rubs against steel. It seemed like I could sense the Lord drawing his sword out of his sheath. As I lay down, I could just hear the sound of the steel coming out of the sheath, that the Lord is drawing his sword, and he's saying that this is the year to head into battle. Not be afraid to speak the words of life, to speak the words of truth, to speak the words of love, to speak the words of peace, but don't be subdued by compromise, intolerance, and political correctedness. Here's a politically incorrect statement. Jesus said, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." Narrow is the gate that leads to life. That word life there is Zoe. The word Zoe speaks to us of the God kind of life, or the eternal God kind of life that God has, that God enjoys. And Jesus said the gate to enter into that life is very narrow. I remember one time I was at a meeting, not long after I got saved, but I had been devouring the Word and looking at the Word, and there was this man of the cloth was on the stage and then was open for discussion. And it was pretty light discussion. There wasn't a lot of great teaching. It wasn't powerful teaching. It was a bit of salvation. But I asked the person, because I was stirred in my spirit about the amount of people that were going to hell. And I said to him, to this man of the cloth, I said, "Do you think that there are more people going to hell than to heaven?" I just wanted to know what his thoughts were. He laughed and ridiculed me, basically, and said, "There's no indication of that in the Word of God, that there's more people going to hell than to heaven." And he actually made it sound like there was more people going to heaven. Now, what does that do? Did that tell the truth, or did that make people feel comfortable? You're more concerned about comfort than the truth. Jesus said, "Narrow is the way." I believe that the gate is kind of like this, coming into the kingdom of God, that you come into a narrow gate, and once you pass through the gate, it widens way open so that we can see the pleasure of God and to see the opportunities that we have and see the grace of God and the goodness of God and the pleasure that we'll enjoy eternity in. But narrow is the gate that leads to righteousness. Debbie shared with you just a few weeks ago about Bob Jones, how he had a vision of heaven. He was caught up to heaven, and there was two lines. And for every 100 people going down the line to a darkness of destruction, there was 2 people entering in the heaven in the line. That's real, folks. I know it's not a feel-good message, and that's not what I'm giving out to you this morning, but could a feel-good army have any influence on this world? Could a feel-good army deliver people from the forces of darkness? I don't think so. No, it takes an army who is willing to tell the truth. Tell it like it is. Somebody said, "I would rather be stolen from than lied to. Because if someone is stealing from me, they're just stealing my salary. But if they're lying to me, they're stealing my reality." If you're lying to somebody, if you're not telling the truth, you're actually stealing the reality, their own reality. I pray that we have a desire to live in reality today as opposed to living in a place of comfort. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me," Jesus. Through me, Jesus said. That's reality. That's the truth. Luke 12:8 says, "Also, I say to you," Jesus said this now, "I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. But he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." That's a heavy statement, because so often we do not want to confess Jesus before men. You heard me tell the story about the young soldier who was in the army barracks, and he got persecuted because he knelt down by his bed and to say his prayers every night, and people would throw shoes at him and so forth. But he continued to press in until some of them got saved, and they began to have a Bible study there. Now, it had been so easy just to crawl into that bed and be quiet. Say your prayers quietly so you won't cause any disturbance. Keep your truth. Keep your faith to yourself. That way you won't make anybody feel uncomfortable. That's a message that's gone out today. I believe Jesus wants us to speak boldly the word of the Lord. Listen to this, what C.S. Lewis said. "There are 2 kinds of people in this world. Those who bend the knee and say to God, 'Your will be done.' That's one kind. And those who refuse to bend their knees to God, and God says, 'Your will be done.'" God says, "Your will be done." God, we want your will to be done. Would you stand with me, please? Now, you see, I don't know how this word hit you this morning, but it fires me up. When God speaks to me and God stirs these things in my heart, it fires me up. Because when it's all said and done, I want to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Well done. Well done. The well done is not going to come after you've just made everybody feel real good. Well done will come after you have been diligent in speaking the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us a mission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me read that from the Message Bible. Go out and train everyone you meet. Go out and tell everybody you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up to the edge of this age. One of the key words in that scripture is, go out and tell, and I'll be with you. Go out and tell, and I'll be with you. Go out and share the gospel, and I'll be with you. Go out, and I will be with you. Whether you write, whether you're a writer and you get the gospel message out that way, whether you're a preacher and you get it out that way, whether you share with one another one-on-one, you get it out that way, whatever method you use, if you share it, Jesus said, I'll be with you. I don't know that he's with us to empower us if we're not doing what he said, if we're not sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not concerned about his truth more than being concerned about how people feel, whether we're going to make them feel good or not. I don't know, this is a challenge to me this morning. I don't know if it's just me, but I just feel like, Lord, I just want to rededicate myself and just say, Lord, empower me with boldness to speak your word. Empower me with boldness not to hold back. Empower me with boldness that I won't succumb to tolerance and compromise. Empower me with boldness that when I hear you speaking to me to talk to someone, that I will do it. I'll step out and do it. And if I don't hear you, I'll look for somebody to talk to. I'll look for opportunities. I will look for opportunities to share about what you've done in life, in my life. Father, we just ask this today in the name of Jesus, that you would empower us with boldness this morning, God. Father, that just as the early church, they prayed for boldness, Lord. They said, grant unto your servants that we might have all boldness to speak your word, and that powers and wonders would be demonstrated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It seemed, Lord, that there was power and miracles associated with being honest and speaking your word. So, Lord, help us to walk in truth and speaking your word, declaring the kingdom of God has come. You have an opportunity to enter in today. Say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would grant me boldness to speak your word with all power, and that you would anoint me to do the works that Jesus has called me to do. Thank you for the message that you give today. Help me to stand against compromise. Help me to stand against tolerance. Help me to stand against political correctness. In the name of Jesus, and speak truth to a lost and dying world. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Empower me now. Come and flood us with your power. And this in Jesus' name I pray.